been consulted, that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Who else acts like that? The devil does. He showed up in Genesis 3, started being subtle over there, and he's not changed. A lot of folks, listen, a lot of folks are deceived by him. Don't say it won't happen to you. You got 75 verses, 1,625 words. This particular chapter at a 3.6 grade level. This is all inspired by God, every single word, and it's preserved forever in our King James Bible. And as we start reading, we're going to start in verse 36 and read down to verse 56. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh, he says, is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the people, from the chief priests and the elders and of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and stuck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. As we look at all these scriptures today and look through this passage of scripture, have you ever said, God bless you, or may the Lord bless you, to anybody in your life? You ever realize this, that sometimes Judas is a blessing? You know why that's possible, why that's a blessing? Because the sooner you find it out, the better off you're going to be. If you knew who the Judas was in your life and God could reveal them like that to you, may the Lord bless you. There's nothing worse in life than a fake friend. Somebody who's out to get you, but you don't know they're out to get you. And you can be deceived by anybody. And I've had people tell me, well, I can discern people by looking at them. You lie through all of your teeth, every last one of them. Keep that trap shut and quit saying stupid things like that. But I want to talk to you today about the benefits of being blessed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we thank you, God, that, Lord, even the bad times can be a blessing. Lord, as we look through this today, I pray, God, you'll show us all these benefits according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. Lord, help me to preach today like this is my last time standing up here, and I'll face you with the next, Lord. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach according to your word, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. doctrine for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look at the benefits of being blessed, first benefit is the Lord's request down in verse 36. It says, then come Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane and saith unto disciples, here's the simple instruction right here. Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. That's all they had to do. Just stay right there. And then he says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. When you look at that and you say, boy, there's that inner circle of the disciples, the leader Peter with the James and John and blah, blah, blah. Wrong interpretation. When you get out of the car and you got a bunch of kids, your kids in the car, you take the bad kids with you where you're going. These were the bad children, not the good children. He's got a lot of work to do on him, them three, so he's going to take them with him. I used to hear that flowery preacher where they'd say about his the strength of the inner circle. No, he's keeping them in line, honey. As long as he's around, they'd do right. You are talking about the guy that just said, I'm not going to let you have your will, Lord. I'll not let them take you. There's one bad child. And you had 11 more sit there and say, or 10 more rather say, we won't let it happen either. But then you got these two big mouths known as the sons of thunder. You got to take old pride and the sons of thunder with you, lest they be cutting off everybody's heads that show up. These are the bad children. Take them in the store with you, because if not, they'll have the other children in trouble. And it says, he got to pray in there, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I wrote this down this week. We want the bigger things God could give us, but are not thankful for the little things he's already given us. Let me give you an illustration of that. We want God to bless us with a big thing, but we ignore all the little things waiting on the big thing. The Lord's request here is simple. He wants them to sit and wait. And there's several times in Scripture where he'll say this. I know one's in Luke chapter 24. After his resurrection, he says, tarry ye here. So you know what they do? They go fishing. He's going to tell them, wait for me over here by the Sea of Tiberias. And they go and wait for a little bit. 10 minutes later, I go fishing, Peter says. And then the 10 other bad children, not as bad as Peter, James, and John, says, we also go with thee. They take off with that thing. Guess who shows up and they're not waiting? He didn't tell them to take a nap. He said, wait right here. That's all you got to do. Wouldn't it be something if the perfect will of God you could find out in your life is just to wait on him? Guess what? That is the perfect will of God. There are four ways God confirms his will in your life. Number one, he shows you in the scripture. Number two, while you're praying, he shows you that scripture. Number three, listen, the circumstances around you show you that scripture. And number four, and this is where all these people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Number four, that'll be confirmed in amongst the people of God in the church. The Lord's request is a benefit. The fact he requests anything at all, not put us in hell, is a benefit. But he says, sit you here, wait right here. And listen, if you're waiting on the will of God today, you got the verse in Scripture, Psalm 46, what did he say? Wait. Just wait. That's what kills people, because they want to go and do. See, we're descendants of Japheth. Japheth wants to go and do and build it bigger. And listen, you need to understand that if God is going to use you at all, you got to wait for him to empower you to do whatever it is. He said, tarry ye here in Luke 24 until you be endued with power from on high. Here's a bunch right here. They ain't going to get power what they want. They're wanting a nap. There's how it was. Well, Lord, we got sleepy waiting on you or whatever. The Lord's request wasn't for you to sleep. It was just to wait right here. Secondly, a benefit he shows us in verse 39, he says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Why did he take them three with him? So they could hear those words right there. See, he knew he was coming to die on the cross, but for their benefit, he's praying this to show them that if you ask God to get out of his will, God still has his will he wants to get you with. And it shows in verse 40, then he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Now listen, he done that for their benefit. I know people right now, if you think about it, you would love to have been there and hear in person your Savior cry out to your God with these very words. What a blessing that would have been there. What are they doing? They're over asleep. And he cometh in disciples, verse 40, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Is prayer meeting that bad? Is it really that bad? You come to church for prayer meeting? You know what you need to do? Get some sleep at night and quit running yourself to death. You don't have to get up at 6 and stay up to 1. You don't have to do that. Get you some rest. Take what Ben takes at night. I think it's old age, but he takes something and goes to bed at 7 or so. You know why he's got to get up, what, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, whatever it is? Well, you can't get up at 4 and go to bed at 12. Eventually, you'll break down somewhere during that day. Your employer will not get the benefit of what they pay you. The state of South Carolina will not get the benefit of you driving on our highways with a straight, awake, sober mind. My goodness, people's attention span's pulled so much they can't even drive without a cell phone in one hand texting somebody. And you add them being half asleep too, you've got a recipe for disaster. Could you not watch 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. There, he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, how my goodness. What happened? Hey, listen. Hey, what happened that you've fallen asleep? You see, the second benefit, you got the Lord's request, and we don't do that. Here's the second benefit. You get the Lord's rebuke. You know what that is? That's a caring, loving God right there. A God that will request you do something and rebuke you when you don't. The basic things of God are, listen, we don't have to congratulate you on coming to church and saying, shake your hand and give you a participation trophy. That's required. We don't have to shake your hand, fly banners all over the place, and put your name in the newspaper saying, this person tithes. That's required. That's a simple, that's some of the basic things. But people nowadays, if they don't get their name put in the Gaffney Ledger and the Cherokee Chronicle for coming to church and tithing, boy, they'll get that Baptist lip running out in front of them, they about step on it. We've learned more how to pout than praise in churches. Why? We won't listen to rebuke anymore. How dare you talk to me like that? Well, bless your heart. You didn't come to see a reed shaking in the wind today, did you? That rebuke is a blessing. That's a benefit of God. The fact that he cares enough to tell you when you're doing wrong. I can go to them churches where they God is love all the time, and God bless you, and here's how to do this, here's how to do that. I want to go where they preach the scripture, and when the Lord rebukes, they preach that too. I promise you, I sat in the service a while back, and it might have been 20 years now, but the guy's preaching out of 1 Thessalonians, and it wasn't in Gaffney, it was somewhere else. He gets over in 1 Thessalonians, he's going to go for the rapture, and he starts reading out through verse 1 to give a running commentary till you get up here to the rapture section up here, and I promise you, he got to this word fornication and totally jumped that thing like a Evel Knievel over the Grand Canyon with a turbo strapped to his preaching to get right by that thing. I've watched people take the advice. I got it from Bill Grady about preaching Romans to Philemon when you first go to church. Make fun of that, but they do it, and they that quick going through a chapter. I want you to tell me how you do 1 Corinthians 15 in 1 hour. I want to hear that. I want to hear that one done where you actually have studied, prayed, and God give you a message, how that ain't been stretched out to 5 services, at least 5. That's a lot of stuff. You notice we didn't jump through Matthew 26 like that. Why are we looking for the benefits? Benefit number one, the Lord requests them. Benefit number two, the Lord rebukes them. Hey, how do you get by the will of God that you abstain from fornication? Don't preach on that for a while in this century. I'll tell you how you do it. You don't listen to God. There's your rebuke. Listen, there might have been something happened to you that you fell asleep. Was it fear? Was it fear that you might not have enough sleep? Well, you do that at night, not halfway during the day. Was it family that got you that way? Was it your family that said, well, you just go on yonder and sleep, and we'll do all the rest of this and all this other stuff? There was a man told me one time, he used to live on Racetrack Road over there. He told me he had this cousin growing up. He said they were so worthless that, you know, back in them days, y'all ate at somebody's house on Sunday. He said that woman was so worthless. He said, my cousin's so worthless, she goes sitting up on the front porch while all the rest of the women's cleaning up the kitchen. Her husband looked at him and said, she hadn't changed a bit. They were in their 50s when he said that, and it only got worse after that. Imagine a teenager that won't even wash the dishes now. They have not pushed the button on the washing machine. Buy a washing machine. Well, I ain't going to load that. How about we take that thing out and put you back over our scrubbing pots and pans? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm giving you a rebuke for being lazy. That's what they were being. Was it your friends got you that way? Oh, I ain't got time to clean up my room. I ain't got time to clean up the house. We got to go jaunt off with our friends over here, and we're going to go out here. You're going to do what with them? What is it you're going to do? You can go to the beer joint with them? Let me tell you something. This is the only town I've ever seen that I know personally where they can go to the beer joint on Saturday night and the church on Sunday morning. People glad they show up, even they show up hungover. We're so glad to have you today. You know why they want that contemporary service? So it'll be loud like the beer joint and keep their attention. Or they do like this. Put a little drama into it. Hey, the Lord rebuking it all is a benefit. Look down, if you will, at verse 45. He said, then cometh he to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now. Uh-oh, he's going to marry him to what they've been doing. Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Here's the Lord's recommendation for you. Number one, the Lord will let you do what you want to do. He'll let you do it. In fact, he'll perform the wedding. He'll marry you to the thing if you keep on. There are people today who don't understand ethics, they don't understand morals, and they don't understand convictions. You know why they don't? They don't want to. People would rather find fault with this building or this preacher or this something of how we do things or whatever than come in and hear the Word of God preached. They don't want to hear it no more. Right. Well, the Lord's recommendation is this. Sleep on now. You don't want to go to church. Bye. Sleep on. You don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ? Fine. He'll go fellowship with somebody else. He'll walk over you to get to somebody that will. Remember this when you need him. See, what we got is the Lord's recommendation. He's recommending you go ahead and do that thing. You're talking about the grace of God. He could have snatched every one of them up and screamed in their face and made them do right. But his recommendation is do what your heart desire is. Now you know why God said over in Jeremiah, why they got to have a new heart put in when they get saved. Why he's got to deal with that heart problem. The heart problem's a sin problem, and the sin problem becomes a problem that wants to get you to things that you don't need to be fooling with, or it might be a good thing and you do it too much, or it might be a bad thing and you do it at all. But his recommendation is do what you want. God will not make you his robot. He'll not force you to get saved. He'll not force you to live right. He'll just go ahead and do it. Listen to this. Are you being handled today by something that the Lord has told you to quit? You know what the worst invention in America is? The snooze button. Do you know, I've seen people do this, I've done it in the past, and finally it dawned on me one day how stupid it was. I do not set an alarm clock 15 minutes ahead. But I've learned this, when it goes off, get up. And I'm going to give you a little advice for you sleepyheads that like to sleep in and be late and all this other stuff. Let me tell you something. You need to put that clock wherever on that side of the room. That way you have to get up and go get that thing. Nothing worse than an alarm clock. You, there it comes. You, where's that? Oh, it's way over yonder. Then you look like a cripple going over there. Got to get that turned off. Get it out of bed. Go get that thing. Turn it off. Get up. Go brush your teeth. And I'll give you some advice. You either brush them in your head or one day you'll brush them in your hand, but you will brush them teeth. Me and her thought of that at the exact same time one day. She hit us both like, oops, you know. Brush your teeth. Get your little shower. You ladies, put your face on. Not your wake face, your game face, you know. And men don't point out the difference in the two. And never, I told you this Wednesday night and Wednesday night before, I've said it twice, here's a third time. Never answer, does this make me look fat? Don't answer either way. Just walk away. I'm not looking at you women, I'm looking straight ahead. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, the Lord's recommendation is, if you love that thing so much, have at it. You love working on cars better than coming to church? Go work on cars. You like sleeping? Sleep on. Now, here's something for you to consider. He has gave them the choice already. They made their choice, and he's not going to force their hand. This is the same crowd that just said, we ain't going to let nobody kill you, Lord. They got to come through us. They'll go through you. Listen, they'll go through you like X-Lax. Right through there. Now watch this. If you look at verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. Now I got a question for you before we get into this. Why is it when they go to arrest Jesus Christ, they bring an army of armed people to an unarmed man? Why is that? I don't know either. But I do know this. I know that somehow in some way, before they'll ever arrest a preacher, they got to bring Channel 7, the sheriff's department, the sheriff, and 10 extra deputies just in case. Do you know every time our government's interfered and shot up a bunch of people in America that's religious, you know what they always do? Fire the first shot. No wonder they started shooting at you. You shot them. It was self-defense. And then after that, you kill all of them when ain't nobody left to talk, and you tell the story however you want to tell it. Anybody remember Janet Reno? You say, well, them people was crazy. Yeah, but crazy wasn't killing nobody till they showed up and started shooting at them. Well, that was child abuse. Prove it. They couldn't prove it. So they shot them all up. Are you listening to me today? You say, well, I didn't do that. You voted them in, didn't you? So I didn't vote for them. Somebody voted for them twice. All this hating on all these police, you can tell where it's coming from? I'm going to tell you exactly where it's coming from. From the same crowd. When Obama said back in 2015, talking about take the law in your own hands and take care of the cops if you need to, he said that, and they started shooting at cops down in Dallas, Texas. Oh, and then the NFL, bless their hearts, the Dallas Cowboys players wanted to put a black thing with a number of people killed on their helmets to honor those fallen officers. The NFL said, do not do that. And then they started kneeling, defund the police. I say we refund the police and get more of them out there and stop all this stupid stuff that's going on. I had a liberal send me a video of a man being attacked by the police. He said, there's more than one video. They do this all the time. And sent a second video, and he's so stupid and so caught up with this stuff that it's the same video shot from the other side of the street. So there's your proof. I said, proof of what? If you are so stupid, you see a line of police up there and you throw something at them, you get what's coming to you. If you get pulled over and a cop has to pull you out of that car, that's on you, buddy. I'll tell you a secret. If you get pulled over and you put your hands on that wheel and answer every question, unless you've done something or got a warrant on you for something really bad, he'll send you on your way with a warning or a ticket. But you're going to get in there and act stupid? There was a football player from Clemson who was in Gaffney, and I've told this story before. Little old bitty cop in there come up to him. The guy's drunk. He said, get out of the car. I said, I ain't getting out of the car for you, and you can't make me. Son, he pulled that stick out. Them it shot up like this, had a little handle on it. He wrapped that thing around his head and pulled him out of that car and cuffed him and told him in the car, said, y'all sit still or I'll take you to jail. Took him like a package of drinks back there at the car. There's that little old cop walking with that big 6'5" football player like this. Threw him in the back of the car. He never gave more trouble after that. That wasn't police brutality. There's only one man. He never bruised him. But they don't like being spit in their face and all this other stuff. Right. Listen, if you'll just comply and do what they request of you, you'll be fine and life will be so much better in your life. You won't have to go to jail. I'm brutalized by the police. There's a girl running from police up there. The canine cop searching car. Okay, the dog bit her. Do you find that surprising? I don't. If you don't stop and he runs off, you better be glad they all ain't got dogs. Well, they didn't have to pull that lady over. Yes, they did. Speeding out of a drug neighborhood. Wonder what that was all about. And then our newspaper's going to get on the front page and give somebody an opposite opinion thing to get people stirred up in this crowd. Honey, listen, they all love dirty laundry. That's how they sell papers around here. If you got a big mouth and you shoot it off against that bunch up there in public, they'll put you on the front page. It'll get you killed, but they'll put you on the front page. See, what we got here is the Lord's response to how he was dealt with. It says in verse 49, and forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Here's the benefit of the Lord's response. Are you ready for this? And Jesus said unto him, "Friend." He just sold him out to death, and Jesus responded just like that. "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Did he know? He knew just like when he said, "Adam, where are you?" Deal with the Lord's response here. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And listen. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword. Gee, I wonder if we read Mark 14, Luke 22, or John 18, we'd find the name Peter attached to this guy's sword. Verse 51, he drew his sword, struck a servant of the high priest, smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for they shall take the sword, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." And he says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" How many? More than what they had soldiers for handle. You got to consider one angel could whoop a whole nation. What if he brought 12 legions? He could take over the world with it, couldn't he? "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be?" See, the Lord's response, do you see how the Lord handled somebody betraying them? He didn't scream at them. He didn't lose his temper. He just said, "Friend, wherefore comest thou?" Boy, ain't that something. Man just sold him out unto the death, and Jesus just called him a friend. You know what the Lord's benefit is here? This is a personal benefit to you. This is how you're supposed to act when somebody betrays you. See, a lot of people's got a list of enemies, but you won't talk to them. You won't even pray for them, but you got a list. Put Matthew 5:44 above your list. Start praying for them people every day. And when you run into them, be civil to them. No matter what they've done. I had a man tell me about it. If you get a list of enemies and pray for them every day, you won't hate them. Well, wouldn't that be a benefit to your walk with the Lord if you quit hating people? When people get a grudge against you, usually it's just over nothing. They could interpret the facts wrong, build a case against you, which they're really building against themselves. Are you doing that with somebody? Are you taking something that was said and saying and turning that thing which turned to your attention, so you turn over here and you make a case, and that person, they hate me. Maybe they don't. Maybe you ought to go talk to them. That's what the Bible says do. Listen, I heard that thing about humility this morning. I thought that would solve 99.9% of the problems in churches today if people practiced humility. How you practice humility? Let somebody else go first. It'll benefit your life. And if your response to you get betrayed is like Jesus Christ, listen to this. You would handle betrayal a whole lot better. And this is our Lord's response to this. He said in that same hour, verse 55, said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me?" Had he ever stole anything from them? In Matthew 17, he needed money to go in to pay taxes. He didn't even sell, listen, he never sold the first donut to get it either. How about that? So, preacher, what do you think about having yard sales for churches? I think you need to just go ahead and disband and be done with it and open up a fish camp. That's what I think. If you got to sell stuff to do anything for the church, you're in the wrong business. I'm sure the cookies are good and the cakes and the pies are all good, but do not fund the Lord's work, you God-robbing thief. I had a man tell me a while back, if I don't tell you the names, I guess it's okay to tell this. He said that we take up a little change offering every week to help out the poor and needy. He said we got one family in there with lowlifes that don't tithe. He said we might as well open up their pocketbook and pour it right in there while we're taking it, or pass her pocketbook around and pour the money in it, because they never do anything for the church. They never give anything to the church, but they always got a story every time that plate gets passed for that poor offering. I said, do they tithe? He said, no. I said, so they double up on robbing God. I said, do they have jobs? He said, every one of them has a job. I said, why are you telling us this? I want you to do right. Well, they do right, and I want you to do right. This whole, we got to sell a pecan pie to make the youth trip, cancel the youth trip. If God don't provide for it, you don't need to go anyway. And we don't need to be sending trips out for people that don't spread the gospel anyway. This is not, listen, this is not the lodge. This is not the vacation outfit. This ain't the travel agency. This is the church. So, preacher, we're going to start a softball team? Not while I'm breathing, we're not. You want to play softball? Go to the complex, join you a team. So we'll never win trophies like that. You got it. You figured it out. You got me. Because every time they do that stuff, somebody ends up cussing out somebody on the thing. Where me and her come from, there was one guy they told our church, they said, listen, if you're going to have a team this year, this guy can't come. But if he comes, we're kicking you out of the league to a church. Why would they do such a thing? Well, if you get cussed out every ball game, you get tired of it too. They won't even put up with that stuff down at the forward complex around secular teams. You keep running out there screaming in the umpire's face and cussing him, he'll put you out too. Amen and amen. He said, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And wait a minute, then all, A-L-L, the disciples forsook him and fled. The Lord's response, he's going to do the will of God, whether they did the will of God. Let me ask you this. How do you handle these benefits right here? You go sit down with an employer, you got a job offer there, you're talking to them, and they ask you, can you work weekends? Can you work overtime? How do you feel about this? And when you turn and ask them about their benefits, they tell you, oh, we got benefits here. If you go to the doctor, you got to give them $5 to go in. We'll pay the rest. If you got a prescription, if it's $300, you only got to pay $2 for the prescription. They give you a little card to get that thing with. And boy, you sitting there thinking, look at the benefits on this. This is great benefits. Do you think about them benefits when you're covered in oil, grease, sweat, and tears and your own blood and they're trying to work on something? And benefits don't sound too good then, but that's still a benefit. That means you're capable of doing such work. The restaurant workers, God bless them, they put up more with, and the Catholic priest taking confession on a Friday afternoon. They hear worse cussing too probably than the Catholic priest when he's drunk. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're sitting in there that job and you got tables to wait on and everybody needs tea, this food's ready to go out, all this stuff, I bet you don't think about that when you're counting them big old tips you get for that thing, because if you do it right, they'll tip you good. Hey, some jerk's coming out with $5 in their hand talking about, all right, that's $1 you're not going to get. Didn't bring my tea here. No, go in there with your tip money before you do anything and give it anyway and use the principle of the thing, and you'll start getting the benefit of it. If you sow to a principle, you'll reap of that principle. But if you don't go out there and be a jerk, you'll find a jerk waiting on you just about every time. How about that? Listen to this. The Lord's response is a benefit. His response is this. I'm doing the will of God whether they will or not. Let them sleep on. I'm going to go on. You know what I do on Sunday morning? I get up and come to church. You know why? I want the blessings of God. I want the benefits, not his rebuke. But when I'm out, I get to rebuke. You been rebuked lately? I ain't talking about being sick unto death and you can't hold your head up and you're about to go dehydrate. I'm going to come to church. No, keep that stuff at the house. Keep that at the house, please. Coronavirus, keep it at the house. Don't wear a mask. Just stay at home. In fact, we got a no mask rule here. We don't want to see them things. I'll assume you come to rob us, and I'll stick two of the best shooting women I got in place on you. You know why? They're not merciful like us men. They'll shoot you with the whole clip. You come to rob us, you're in the wrong place. But listen to this. The benefits of being blessed that the Lord talks to us at all. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we